Okay. Well, my name is Pastor Michelle. I'm the youth pastor. Me and my husband are the youth pastors here at The Rock. And I was raised in this church. I'm homegrown. So I've been through the children's ministry, youth ministry. Now I work here and I have two kids. And God has just totally blessed me. I love coming to girlfriends. I mean, I love coming to church, especially when it's like 91 degrees outside and it's air conditioning in the house of God. That's what I'm talking about. But it is refreshing. And so we're going to talk about friendships. Now, the title of today's message is Friendships the Healthy Way, Godly Relationships. Because I'm sure, just like Pastor Eleanor said, all of us have been in an unhealthy friendship. And when Pastor Eleanor mentioned that, Robin was in the back and she said, you know, have you ever been talking to somebody and it's like, awkward, you know, like this friendship is just a little awkward for me. Okay. This relationship's just kind of going kind of weird. And even the term friend, we can kind of use loosely. Have you noticed that? I mean, for instance, if any of you ladies are on the internet, there's Facebook, right? Maybe Facebook, maybe you have a MySpace or something like that, or a Twitter account. And you can have tons of friends. I mean, I'm sure you ladies probably have 100 friends on Facebook, you know, 500 friends, whatever. And you're like, they're my friend. They're my friend, but are they really your friend because you know that they're going to Burger King, okay, or you know that their kids are down for a nap, all right? I mean, are you really their friend? You know, we use the term so loosely. Maybe a friend, maybe somebody brings you, you know, Frappuccino, you know, on this hot day, and you say, you're my best friend. You know, sometimes we just use these terms so lightly, but today I'm not going to just talk about acquaintances. I want to talk about your best friend. I want to talk about those close relationships. You know, it's funny that they asked me to do this workshop because I don't feel like I'm a very friendly person. You know, I have three sisters and we're all really close. And you know, I only have like a couple really close friends that I would consider close friends. And I think that's good. I think if we're trying to be best friends with like 10 or 20 people, then that's not good. You're going to not have a healthy relationship with them and not a godly relationship at that. And just looking to God about friendships is what we need to do, because we can look to the world about friendships. And I want to read to you some of the top TV shows. And you know, if you watch them, there's no condemnation here. All right. But these are some, this is what the world is getting their education on friendships and relationships. The first one is Desperate Housewives. I don't know if you've seen that show, but everybody's backstabbing everybody, sleeping with everyone else's. Okay. And it is just not healthy, not the way a friendship should be. And now, these are the top 10 shows. These are some of the top 10 shows that women watch. Okay. The Bachelorette. Need I say more? Okay. Grey's Anatomy. All right. I don't know if you've ever seen an episode of that, but you know, it's just like, so it's just not even showing healthy relationships at all. Keeping Up with the Kardashians. All right. Not a family I'd like to have. Okay. And then lastly, but not leastly, The Housewives of Orange County, New York, hopefully one day not San Bernardino. Okay. And, you know, this is where we're getting on how to be friends, is by, you know, talking behind someone's back or, you know, sleeping with their husband. Okay. This is what they are showing as, well, this is just what friendship is. This is just how girls act. But that's not what God's word says. So we're going to go to God's word about friendships. If you turn to Proverbs 18:24, and I love women's Bible study because we break open the Bible. We're going to have some verses. We're going to dig into this word. And in Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man who has friends himself must be friendly. Herself. You see, maybe you're in this room and you don't have any friends. Maybe you're saying, I don't have a best friend, Pastor Michelle. You know, I seem to make friends and then I lose them. Are you being friendly? Are you being friendly? Are you showing yourself as a friend? See, if you have friends, you're going to see the people with lots of friends are friendly. You've got to be kind. You've got to be courteous. You've got to love. You've got to care. You've got to do that. And then the rest of the verse says, but there is a friend who sits closer than a brother. See, that's what I want to talk about today. Is I want to talk about that friend who sticks closer than a sister, that close friend, and how do we treat that friendship, and how do we grow that friendship, and how does that friendship grow to be a healthy, godly friendship? You know, like I said, there's friends, but then there's a term that God has used in his word about covenant friends, covenant relationship. And I want to explain that a little bit more in 1 Samuel 18:1, and we're going to be hanging out in the Old Testament a lot today, but in 1 Samuel 18:1, there's a friendship between Jonathan and David. And you guys have heard about David, and Jonathan was Saul's son. And so in 1 Samuel 18:1, it says, "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." You probably have a friend in your life. Maybe it's a sister. You know, maybe you're sitting right next to them, and your soul is knit to that person instantly. Remember the day that you guys met? Remember the day that you guys became friends? Remember, you know, the first outing, or maybe you took a vacation together or whatever it is. Your soul was instantly knit to that person. It was almost effortless. It wasn't a hard thing to do. You just became friends. And then it says in verse number 3, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant." They made a promise. They decided that we are going to be friends. And it says that because he loved him as his own soul, and Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. You see, they exchanged things. Back then, when you cut a covenant, when you made a covenant with somebody, you would exchange your robe, you would exchange your armor. This was something that you were saying, okay, we are going to be friends. We are going to commit to each other as a friendship. I've got your back, you've got my back. I'm going to support you. I'm going to encourage you. And that was a covenant friendship. And that's what we're talking about today, is the covenant friendship. So today I'm going to give you, I think it's 3 points. Let me see if I added extra one. Nope. Three points on godly friendships. What godly friendships look like. Number one is this, is that godly friendships encourage each other. A godly friendship should be an encouraging friendship, not an abusive friendship. Okay. Not somebody, you know, I want to tell you today to be the encourager and not the crusher. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, you ever had that friend who like crushed every dream you've ever said? You know, I want to get skinny. No, not going to happen. I see the way you eat. Mm-mm. Okay. And just suddenly just crush your dream. Okay. You know, I want to marry a godly man. No, I see who you married the last 3 times. Not going to happen. All right. And they just crush your dreams. That is not an encouraging friend. You need to find a friend who's encouraging, and you need to be encouraging as well. Not crushing them. You know, the world alone brings enough of discouragement. I mean, have you watched not even just the news, not even just television shows? Have you watched the commercials lately? I was watching a commercial, and there was this, you know, they're advertising for your kids to get vaccinated, okay? Because I know that's a big deal and, you know, pretty controversial right now. And so there's this woman with the scary music in the background holding her son, saying, "Most kids get the whooping cough from family members." And they, you know, and I know it's a big deal, but you're scaring me, lady, okay? And there's just so much fear that is put into most TV shows, most commercials. Every advertisement is motivated by fear. Okay, let's be friends who provide an encouraging atmosphere. Let's be someone who encourages someone to go to the next level. You know, maybe you're saying to yourself, "Well, Michelle, that's just reality. I'm a realist, and I need to be realistic with my friends." You know, I hope this doesn't offend you, but have you heard the saying that reality bites? I mean, it's not always easy to be reality. Let's be faith. Let's look at faith. You know, Jesus didn't only look at reality. He looked at the next level. You see, you need to always encourage your friends, your husband, your kids, your pastors, your sisters in God. You need to encourage them to the next level. You never encourage somebody where they're at. You know, you never say you're a good person. No, you're the best person. You know, you're an amazing wife. You know, you could own your own business one day. You are so smart. You could finish college now, no matter what age you are. You are the best mother. And you've got to be encouraging them, not to where they're at now, but far beyond that. Because who else is encouraging them? You may be the only encouragement that they get. You may be the only encouragement. You think when Jesus went and saw the men who were fishing, you know, and he saw those fishermen, those ungodly men, those men who didn't stay in the temple, those men who didn't follow the rules, and he said, "You're going to be my disciples." Do you think at the time, were they cursing like a sailor? Probably, because they were sailors. Okay, were they righteous men? I don't know, but Jesus saw something in them. Jesus saw something in them. We got to look at our friends and see something in them. We got to see the encouragement, not just crushing them, but encouraging them for their dreams. In Genesis 37:5, you know, you guys have probably heard the story of Joseph. And Joseph was a young man. He had a dream. He had a dream about his future. He had a goal. He had a destiny. And he told his dream to his brothers. And his brothers didn't say, oh, that's an amazing dream, Joseph. How can I help you with that? You know, give me a job and I'll help you get there. His brothers beat him up, threw him in a pit, then they sold him as a slave. They crushed his dream. Okay, those were not the right people to tell their dream to. And just a side note, if you have dreams, make sure you tell them to the right people because there are crushers out there. Okay, and you've when a friend comes to you with a dream, when a friend comes to you with an idea, you've got to be encouraging. Not like Joseph's brothers and beat them up and throw them in a pit, but be encouraging. My friend, she's one of my close friends. We've been friends for probably about 5 years. And she makes these tutus, right? And they're just the cutest little girl tutus. And we were saying, God, you make such cute tutus. They're just so cute. And so she said, you know what? I think I want to open my own business, a tutu business. Now, to the average person, you may be thinking, how is she going to make any money off a tutu business? Okay, I mean, it is tulle. It is some elastic. Who's going to buy these tutus? And it sounds a little crazy, right? It sounds a little loony. But you know what I did? I encouraged her. I said, you are the best tutu maker I know. Those are the cutest tutus I've ever seen. I'm going to buy a tutu, and I think that you should sell them. And I just kept on encouraging her. And I would remind her, hey, remember about, you know, your tutu business? How's that going? You know, did you get your license yet? You know, are you going to market nights? What are you doing? And we would talk about this, and I would encourage her and encourage her. And you know what? Today, she is a certified business. She has a storefront. She's in a store. She's doing events. And not only is she just making tutus, you know, that are affecting people around her, but she, a portion of her proceeds goes to Women of the World, and she's affecting the world around her because I encouraged her to make tutus. Tutus. See, you can encourage your friends to have the best marriage. Don't be a crusher. Be an encourager. Be somebody who helps. And you know what? We need to encourage not only in the good things, but how about in the hard times? How about in the tough times? You know, the Word of God says this in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It says that a brother, remember we were talking about there's a friend that sticks closer than any brother? It says that close friend was born for adversity. You were born to help your friends through the tough times, not drop them. You were born for that very reason. God knew the time and the place and the city that you'd be born in. He knew how you guys would meet that first time that you met. And you were born to help them through situations. You were born for adversity. You know, I have a friend, and we've been friends since childhood, you know, for a very long time. She's like a sister to me. And she lived in another city, you know, she used to live with us, and now she lives in another city in Temecula. And one time in her life, she did not want to serve God. She just kind of went through this, like this funk, you know. I think we've all been through a funk with God. And maybe you have a friend right now who's going through, you know, just a hard time. And so, you know, her roommate called us and she was like, hey, you know, so-and-so's having a hard time. You guys need to talk to her. You guys need to pray for her. And you know, we could have just sat back and said a prayer as a family. But instead, in the middle of the night, we packed up. We all got in our car, drove down to Temecula, and we sat with her. And we sat with her and we talked with her. And most of the time it was silent. Most of the time she didn't want us to be there. In fact, she was like, what are you guys doing here? Well, we heard you're not serving God. Okay. No, we were like, you're not doing good. And we just want to sit with you. We brought dinner. We're just going to sit. And there was a lot of tears and it was a late night, but I was born for that moment. I was born to help her through that moment. And now she's serving God, and now she's in the house of God, and now she's successful, and she's going to school and working and everything. You see, you guys, we can't just drop people the moment it gets tough. We were born for that moment. You know, with David and Jonathan, and if you guys know the story of David, if you don't, you should read it because it's really interesting. But Jonathan's father, Saul, was constantly trying to kill his best friend, David. I mean, it was just a constant battle trying to kill him. And Jonathan was always encouraging David. Always. In fact, one more time, his dad tried to kill him. And in Samuel 23:16, it says, then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. You know, he strengthened him. He encouraged him. He gave him the word and he said, you can do it. Because of that covenant relationship, we've got to be encouraging. Sometimes encouraging is just being there. It's not having the answer. It's not having the solution. It's not giving them the 3-point, this is what you need to do to get over this. It's just being there. Sometimes it's just crying with them. You know, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is when Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus was dead. Do you guys remember that story? It's in John chapter 11, verse number 2. And I'm going to read it for you. It says, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, and was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with his hair. And when Mary had reached the place in verse number 32, the place where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So Jesus was really close with this family. He was really, really close with this family. And when Jesus finally came to see Lazarus as he was dead, you know, then she comes and she falls at her feet and says, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And then it goes on to say in verse number 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And then he says, where have you laid him? And he asked, come and see. And they replied. And then verse number 35 says, Jesus wept. Jesus cried with them. Jesus, he had the answer. He knew he was going to be raised from the dead. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to fix the whole thing, but he didn't do it right away. He cried with them. God, as man on earth, showed human emotion and cried with people who were weeping over a loved one. You see, sometimes it's not always giving the answer, but it's crying with that person. It's helping them through that. Of course, you know, Jesus raised him from the dead, and it was a miracle and amazing. And that was Jesus's friend. You know, I remember my sister, you know, in my family, we kind of are weak at looking at blood. I don't know if any of you ladies, if you get sick when you see blood, but that's how it kind of runs in our family, right? And so I fainted quite a few times looking at blood. Okay. And so, my sister was in the kitchen, and my parents have this tile floor, and, my sister was in this kitchen, and she was cutting something, cut her finger, you know, blood was coming out. And so, my mom said, you know, sit down. I'm going to get you something to stop the blood. So she doesn't sit down. She stands up and she walks, and my sister faints in the middle as she's walking, faints and falls head first and lands on her teeth. Okay. Lands on her two front teeth and breaks her teeth. All right. I mean, traumatic, especially for a girl. Okay. So then I get a phone call, you know, I was just married, we were younger. And so, you know, I get a phone call, your sister broke her teeth. I'm like, what? You know, your sister, you know, she's crying and stuff. So I go over there, and my sister is crying, and she can't stop crying, because imagine if you broke your teeth. How are you going to fix your teeth? What are they going to look like? Is it going to, you know, is anybody going to be able to fix this? And I just remember sitting there, my sister's laying on the couch. I'm sitting on the floor. I'm, you know, stroking her hair, and we're just crying because I don't know what to tell her. I don't know, you know, my mom's, she's so cute. She's collecting the teeth, you know, she put them in a little cup to give to the dentist, you know, and I'm just, you know, sitting there crying with my sister because I don't have the answer. I don't know what to do, but you know, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And sometimes encouragement is just sitting there with them and crying with them and knowing that they're there with you. You know, one thing that encouragement is not, and I know I need to touch on this subject because we're girls, is gossiping. Encouragement is not gossiping. You cannot, do not expect to be friends with somebody long if you start gossiping about them. Okay? In fact, it says that in the Word of God. It says in Proverbs 17:9, he who covers a transgression or a sin or a mistake or gossip seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Like I said, it should not shock you if you start gossiping about somebody and they don't want to be friends with you anymore. You know, that's just what's going to happen. A godly friend stops gossip in its tracks. A godly friend sticks up for that person. A godly friend doesn't spread the news. Okay, maybe they're saying, you know, I heard so-and-so. You know, I heard her house is messy. And I heard she like beats her kids and CPS is picking them up, you know, next week or whatever. There's this huge gossip story. You know, don't be like licking your fingers like, that was some good gossip. I got to spread that to somebody else. No, you better stop that. You better say, you know what? I know her. And you don't know the situation. You don't know what's going on. And if you want to talk about it, you need to talk to her and stop it in its tracks. That's what a friend does. It doesn't spread it farther. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't keep it going, but you've got to stop that gossip in its tracks. Cover the transgression. Stop it right there. Number two, about godly friendships. What do godly friendships do? They sharpen each other. Godly friendships not only encourage each other, but sharpen each other. And we all know this verse, but I'm going to read it to you again. It says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You see, now you may say to yourself, you know, yes, I want to be sharpened. Have you seen them sharpen a knife? It is not with silk. It is not with cotton balls or Q-tips or something soft and comfortable. It is with something sharper, tougher, harder, that's going to rub off that dullness, that's going to bring out the sharpness and the shine of that knife. You see, we need somebody who's stronger, not somebody that's just going to drag us, but somebody who, they sharpen each other, they encourage each other, they take each other to the next level, not somebody that you're literally dragging along. See, that can be a friend, but that can't be your close-knit covenant friend, okay? Don't drop that person. Keep on dragging them. But you need somebody else who's going to sharpen you and who's going to build you up. Somebody who's going to who's going to take you to the next level. You know, somebody who's not afraid to tell you something and you receive that thing. You see, we're all this emotional bank, right? Imagine this emotional bank. And people deposit things into your life. Good things, you know, maybe they deposit, you know, friendship and encouraging sayings and, you know, just stuff like that, love. And you have this bank that's full of stuff. So when somebody comes to you and says, you know, I'm your friend and I love you, and, you know, you seem to just be, you know, just having a hard time right now, they can take out of that bank and you will not be, you know, bankrupt. Okay. You will still have emotions in there to be able to take that. You've got to earn your right to speak into somebody's life. You just can't go up to anybody and just tell them, you know, God told me that you're in sin, you need to get out of it, or whatever it is. You've got to earn that right. That emotional bank needs to have deposits before you withdraw from it. Otherwise, it's going to be zero and there's nothing going to be left and you guys won't be friends anymore. You see, iron sharpens iron, and you need to give into that emotional bank so that you can help them and withdraw from it. You know, like I said, my friend who went, you know, who started to go south with God, you know, if I hadn't deposited so much into her life, I would have never earned the right to speak into her life. She would have opened the door and been like, what are you doing here? And shut the door. Okay, she would not have wanted to hear from me. But because we kept on giving and giving and giving, I can be honest with her. I can tell her the truth. I can, you know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says that, let me find it. It says that in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You see, a friend, maybe it's hurtful at first what they say, but it's truth. You know, it's truth. And you needed to hear that. You didn't like it, but you needed to hear that. And now if you're going to confront somebody on something, let me just tell you this. You need to make sure God opens that door. Okay? You need to let God open that door. Don't just like barge in and say, listen, I know you're dealing with this and this is the way you need to get out of it. But let God open that door. For example, if you have a friend who has a negative attitude, right? You just notice, God, they're being so negative. Okay. Don't just like have your little sermon that you're going to preach them at Starbucks. All right. On your next coffee date, but let God open that door. Maybe they start to be negative again. And you just say something with love and kindness. You say, are you doing okay? Just something as simple as that. Are you doing okay? Because I've noticed you've been a little negative. I've noticed, you know, you haven't been yourself lately. And, you know, that'll open a door in itself for them to share their feelings and share what they're going through. But iron sharpens iron. You know, you don't join their pity parties. You don't expect, you know, them to join your pity parties. If you have that close-knit friend, they should be close enough to say, party's over, shut it down, let's get to reality, let's move on from this, and they help you through it. All right, number three about godly relationships. That godly relationships influence each other. And the truth is, every relationship influences you. Every relationship. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Different translations say this: do not fool yourself. Do not let yourself be poisoned. And do not be so deceived. But bad company, bad relationships corrupts good character. See, sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, why am I suddenly looking at other men? Or why am I cussing so much? Or why am I getting so angry so much? Or why am I watching these shows? Or why am I feeling this way? And we don't even realize it, that we've let these other things influence us. See, any relationship with you, that you're in, is going to influence you, whether for good or for bad. Now, the good thing, your friendship should influence you to have a better marriage, to love your kids more, to do a better job, you know, at your work. You know, those should influence you farther. But sometimes we let it go the opposite way. I read these Facebooks. I know these statuses, and I think, what are they doing? They need to stop with these friendships, stop going out to the bars with their girlfriends, and start going to church with their girlfriends. I mean, we've got to realize that everything influences us. Everything, all these relationships. And we can be an influence to them. It says in Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. I'm righteous, you're righteous, and you have the right to choose your friends carefully. You have the right to let who you want into your life. You control that. You control those relationships, not them. But they're always calling me. They're always texting me. They're always emailing me. But you have the right to continue with that friendship or shut it down. It says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. If you are in a close-knit covenant relationship with an unsaved person, it says right here in the Word of God that it will lead you astray. I had a friend that I knew for years, a childhood friend. You know, we went through youth ministry, children's ministry, everything together. We had the inside jokes. Don't you love inside jokes with your best friend? It's like you guys can say one word like cupcake. Okay. I mean, you guys just know each other. It's, you know, it's just so much fun. That was my friendship with this person. And then, I joined internship at The Rock and she went off to college and something happened. She just totally gave up on God. Just totally did not believe in God anymore. And it was just really weird. It was so sudden. And it was just those things when we got back together as friends and we'd meet up together, we weren't close-knit anymore because she wasn't serving God. And I could tell that friendship died. I could tell that it was just done. It was over with, you know, and I knew if I was going to try to, you know, be my close-knit friend with her, that it just wasn't going to work out. She would lead me astray. And so I mourned that relationship because I had to give that up. That was one of my best friends. Now I still see her every once in a while. She came to my baby shower. We still talk and have memories together. And it, you know, that's still good, but it's very surface because she's no longer my covenant friend. And, you know, and I have other covenant friends and that's okay. But see, you've got to be smart enough and wise enough to care about your soul more than hurting someone else's feelings. You think the devil's not stupid? It says he's prowling around like a lion, seeking who he may devour. And maybe he won't get you out with drugs, or maybe he won't get you out being a Satan worshiper. But if he can get you with your friends and lead you astray, all of a sudden you're not going to church anymore. All of a sudden, you know, you're not believing in God as much as you used to. You're not standing in faith and you just get led astray because you've let somebody come in and influence you. You've got to be careful. You've got to watch out for that. I want to real quickly go through what friends are not, and then we're going to do some really neat devotion time. But the first thing that friends are not is friends are not God. Okay? Friends are not God. God is God. He's the only God. Your friends are not God. Your friends are not your shepherd. God is your shepherd. Your friends are not your provider. God is your provider. Your friends are not your healer. God is your healer. That's what it says in the Word of God. And sometimes we call our friends before we pray. What do you think I should do? You know, and instead of even asking God first, you know, well, you can't do anything without calling your friend. And that could be a very unhealthy thing. Because your friends are not God. God is your provider. You know, you guys remember the story about Job in the Old Testament? You know, Job, you know, he was, you know, stricken and, you know, everybody died around him and he had these few friends left. And there's many verses where he felt like he was alone and no one was there. But he did not give up on God. And he knew that God was God and his friends are here. And one of the last verses in the book of Job, it says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You see, Job didn't seek his friends to help him. He sought God. And see, you cannot replace your God with friends. That's God. Number two thing, what friends are not. Friends are not your husband. All right? And let me explain that a little bit. You see, those of you girls who are married, God's given you a husband. And you are to be the best of friends with that person. Remember when Adam was in the garden alone with all the animals? Okay, God did not give him a BFF. He gave him a wife. Okay, he gave him a wife, a woman. And you are supposed to have that relationship with your husband. Don't try to put your friend in that spot. And what I mean by that is sometimes we will spend more time with our friends than with our husband. confide more in our friends than with our husband. You see, maybe your relationship with your husband right now is not the best or at the place that it should be. Maybe your husband's not even saved. And we're going to believe God for that today. We're going to pray about that in a little bit. But God's given you a husband, and don't try to fill the gaps with a best friend. Okay, you have a husband, you are his wife, and let it be that way. All right, number three, your friends are not mind readers. Okay, they don't know what you're thinking. Maybe you have the inside jokes, but you've got to communicate to them how you feel. You know, no, I don't want to go out with you right now. You know, I'm tired. The kids need me to go take a nap. I mean, you need to communicate stuff. They're not mind readers. You've got to use, you know, I always tell my daughter, use your words, blah, okay, you know, and she has a hard time, but it's so funny because as adults, we just expect our best friend to know. You should have known that I needed to go out with you this week. You know, you should have known that. You know, I don't know if any of you, maybe you're going through a hard time with your friend right now with this. You guys should pick up a book. It's called The Five Love Languages. We sell it in our bookstore. How many women have read that book in this workshop? Okay, awesome book. And it shows how people communicate love. Okay, it shows them. And there's five different things. You know, one of them is through gifts. You know, they receive love by you giving them a gift. You know, it could be just something simple, just a little thing. You know, that's how they see love. You know, maybe it's words. You know, mine is words. You know, you could tell me a good thing. You know, Pastor Michelle, you know, you are awesome. Okay. And I'll be on cloud nine for like a whole week. You know, I could care less about getting a gift or anything like that. I just like to hear, you know, good words. And maybe you have a friend like that. Maybe it's time. You know, you have a friend who needs lots of time. They need those outings. They need those coffee dates. They need that stuff. You know, maybe it's touch, okay? A hug. They need a hug every time they see you. Every time they want that hug. They need to feel that. And then the other one is acts of service. You know, they just like to get their feet rubbed. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that to your friends. But but there's those five different languages that speak love to them. Really good book will help you with your friends, with your marriage, with your kids, with your dog. No, I'm just kidding. But just a good book. Just go pick it up. And then number four, what your friends are not. Your friends are not a checklist. And I'll explain that right now. Your friends are not a checklist. For instance, it should not feel like a job to have a friend. I'm not going to say there's no effort with friendships, but it should feel effortless. Okay, you shouldn't have a checklist. Well, usually we go on two coffee dates. She saves my seat at girlfriend's first service, second service, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Okay, and you know, she gives me a birthday gift and she needs to throw me a party. And we have like this huge checklist we expect our friends to do. And it's like, lower the expectations. Okay, this should not be a job. You're not paying them to be your friend. Okay, they're not your party planner. And we need to realize that it should just feel, like I said, effortless. Like, I love to bake. I'm sure you ladies have hobbies, right? What are some of your hobbies that you like to do? Sewing, needlepoint. Okay, let's talk about needlepoint for a second. That, to me, would exhaust me. Okay, I feel like I'd be bleeding from every finger that I have, and it would exhaust me. But baking, on the other hand, I could dirty my entire kitchen. In fact, I'm making 100 cupcakes this weekend. I don't know why. And it's so much fun to me, okay? And so I could dirty everything, and I could, you know, have the cutest little cupcakes, and it was effortless to me, even though it was hours and hours of work, okay? A friendship, even though it may be work, it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like it's hard. See, your friendships can't be a checklist. It needs to feel effortless, even though it takes a lot of work. So this is what we're going to do. I think Robin has some papers we're going to pass out to everybody, and we're going to do some devotion time, all right? And what that means is we're going to play some soft music, lower the lights, you get your Bible, you get one of these papers, and you can go anywhere in this room. I don't care where you go. You can get far away from everybody, and I want to pray for friends. I want you to pray for your friends. I'm going to give you a couple things to do. Pray for your friends. I want you to write down how you can encourage your friends. As I was preaching on encouragement, I know God was speaking to you on, you know what? I need to encourage them with their marriage. I need to encourage them with their friends. I need to encourage them. Maybe you have a friend who's sick. You know, you need to encourage them with that. Pray for them. And then when I was talking about influences, maybe some of you realize I shouldn't be hanging out with this person anymore. They're taking me the wrong way. I'm doing the wrong stuff with them. I need to just drop them. And I want you to pray about that too. So what we're going to do is we're going to do that for about 5 minutes, lower the lights, play some worship music, and you guys are going to pray about that stuff. And then if we have time, I want to go ahead and come back and do a little bit of Q&A about friendships that you guys are going to write on the papers, okay? And if you guys have a question, you know, we'll collect them all, you know, after the devotion time, and then we're going to do some Q&A about the friendships. So did you ladies get something out of that? Was that good? Did you like it? Good. Good, good, good. I got something out of it. God is good. Okay, let's go ahead and play that music and just get into your prayer time. Actually, let me pray over you before you get, so we don't just like jump into it. Let's just take it slow. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this morning. I thank you for these ladies, Lord God, who see that they were born for such a time as this to have the friends that they have. They want to be the best friends they can possibly be. So, Father, I pray that you'd speak to them right now. That Holy Spirit, you would minister to them personally and tell them how to encourage their friends, how to pray for their friends, and what is the next step with their friendships, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so just go ahead and get in your own personal space, and let's go ahead and pray.
Rise before you, the lifting up my hands a sacrifice. Oh Lord Jesus, turn your eyes upon me, for I know there is mercy in your sight. Your statutes are my heritage forever. My heart is set on keeping urge toward rebellion. Let love keep my will upon its knee. Oh God, you are my to lead the humble.
meetings. You know, I feel like Spirit of God is in this room, and I think we should pray for our friends corporately. I think that would be really good. And so I want to do a couple specific prayers. Is that okay with you ladies? I mean, this is girlfriends. We have the prayer warriors in this service. And what I want to do is I want to pray for any friends that you may have that have gone astray. Maybe like, you know, I told you that one friendship that I have, and, you know, I want to pray for that person. They were raised in church. They knew what, you know, they know what they're doing. They know the truth. And so if that's you, would you stand up if you have somebody you want to stand in faith about that maybe they've gone astray? A friend, someone that can come back to God. Maybe it's somebody you've known your whole life. And let's pray. And if you want to, actually, if you want to stand up anyways, I don't know. I pray better when I'm standing. I don't know about anybody else. I like to move. So let's just believe in faith. And it says, where two or more are gathered, God is in the midst of us. And there's, you know, over 100 women in here. And so let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just lift up, God, these souls, these friends, these people who are so close to us like a sister, God. And we pray, Lord God, that you would bring them back, Father, to your presence, to your kingdom. God, that they would, Lord God, have people around them that would remind them constantly of church. You would bring witnesses and laborers to them to tell them about you, remind them about the house of God and how good it is and how it feels and how your presence feels, Father. That, God, you would open doors only you can open for us to speak into their life, for someone to speak into their life. Father, that you would speak to them, Lord God, in their sleep, in their mind, Lord God, through every influence, Lord God, that they surround themselves with. They cannot escape, Father, your presence. So reveal that to them now, Holy Spirit. We are calling them out. We are saying, devil, back off. Leave them alone. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And that these are your kids, Father, and we are praying for them, Lord, and for their souls and for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! All right. Can we pray for some other stuff? Is that cool? I want to pray for I do want to pray for your husbands. You know, I talked about there's a certain relationship with you have with your husband that should be different than with a friend. You know, it should be closer. It should be more intimate, obviously. Okay, but maybe your husband isn't walking with God. Maybe your husband isn't serving God and you want to stand in faith for them. Then I want you to stand up. I want you to believe God. Let's just raise your hand if that's you for your husband. Praise God. Let's stand in faith, ladies. Let's stand in faith. In fact, why don't we go ahead and lay hands on, if somebody's raising their hands, I want you to get up out of your seat. And I want you to lay hands on them, okay? And we're going to believe God for these men. These men that God knows that you're married to him. It's not a surprise. So let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for these wives, God, that you would anoint them. God, that you would bless them, that your Holy Spirit anointing presence would literally just seep out and influence their husbands, God. I pray you do open doors, Lord God, for these men. I pray, Lord God, that they would know that they need to come to you, Father. I pray they'd see their wife, Lord God. And Lord God, they would see God in their wife. And Lord God, be attracted not only to the women, but Father, to you, Lord, through their actions, through their lifestyle, Father. We are praying for their souls and for their salvation and for their progress with you, God, that you would be with them, Father. And we thank you, Father, for saving them. We thank you for salvation in every area. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah for the men of God. Okay, last one. I know this is like up and down, up and down. Okay, last one is I want to pray for any friends who are sick. If you have a friend who's sick, whether it's cancer, whether if it's a diagnosis, maybe it's a disorder, okay, a blood disease, I don't know, whatever it is, let's pray for that. Maybe it's lungs, maybe it's broken limbs. I mean, you are their friend. God is their healer. So let's ask him for it. Jesus raised his friend from the dead. He can heal your friend. So let's stand in the gap for them. That's you. Just lift your hand for your friend. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, as friends. Lord God. And we lift up, Lord God, these women, Lord God, who are sick. We pray, Lord God, for the ones, Lord God, who need healing, Father. We thank you, Lord, that throughout, Lord God, your word, you've done miraculous things, Father. We're asking for that today. We're asking for that this morning, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would repair, Lord God, limbs, Father. I pray, Lord God, that you would heal them and make them whole, Lord God, that cancer has to leave in the name of Jesus, Father. I thank you for reports, God, when they go back to the doctor, that the doctors say, oops, it's not there anymore. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that, Lord God, there will be restoration, wholeness in these women's bodies, Father, and all the glory will be given to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Okay, you can have a seat now. Let me tell you a testimony about healing real quick. One of my friends, you know, her son was sick. He's only 17 years old, very athletic. They said he had a heart problem. I can't remember exactly the heart problem, but basically any day, you know, he could just die. Okay. He couldn't exert himself. He was just an amazing athlete, and he could no longer be athletic. So he was very depressed. He watched everything that he did. Well, he goes back to the doctor a couple months later. And that's why I said that. The doctor said, well, I don't know what happened, but it's not there anymore. We must have diagnosed it wrong. No, Jesus healed him. Okay. And that is the testimony. All right. So God is still healing today, and he can heal you and your friends. Okay. Now, if you ladies had those green cards, if any of you have any questions, you know, this is just Q&A time. Maybe there's just a situation that came up with your friends. Maybe you don't know what to do. Then go ahead and write that question down. And you know, Robin, will you go ahead and collect them? And if you have it, just raise your hand up. And if anybody has any questions, and Robin will get that. All right, we got one. Anybody? We can talk about one. I know we just got like all the answers from the Word of God, so that's all I'm going to give you is the Word of God, anyways. But if there's any other questions, all right, I'll just take that one real quick, and let's see. All right. This says, how do I change the relationship with my best friend who is a man, a Christian man, and stop being sin with him after over 5 years? That's a tough one. 5 years. Oh, I know. Okay. Sin. Well, first of all, let me just say this. You kind of enter dangerous territory when you're best friends with the man. Okay. Especially if you don't want that to get sexual or intimate or anything like that. That's very hard. You want to know why? Because we're humans. You want to know why? Because God made us with certain feelings. All right. It doesn't mean you're an evil person because maybe you're attracted to that person. It means everything works. Okay. So that's why you need to protect yourself and set boundaries. You know, if you are constantly seeing yourself in sin with that person, then as tough as it is, I would drop them. I would say, you know, whether you feel like you need to tell that person, this is how I feel. I want to go on with God. I think we're going to have to, you know, take a step back from our friendship and just let them go, because it says in the Word of God, the righteous choose their friends carefully because the wicked will lead them astray. And maybe that person doesn't see it as wickedness, but you see it as wickedness, and you've got to cut that off, because your soul at the end of time is more important than a relationship with a person. 5 years is a long time, but eternity is forever. So, not diamonds. Eternity is forever. Okay. Any other questions? Cool. Okay. How can I encourage my friend to live in the Word again? I know. Okay. Because I still talk to my friend who is not serving God, even though she knows she's been raised in church. She knows everything. I think that love covers so much. I think love, if you read in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, read that verse and let God speak to you through that, because it says love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love isn't proud, because we know the answer, but they don't know it. Love isn't rude. We can't shove it down their throat. But I believe through prayer and love, and when God opens those doors, God will open those doors for you to say something. But you've got to wait for the right time. Otherwise, it's going to be shut and locked, and they aren't going to want to hear anything from you. So I would approach them in love, and I would pray for open doors. And God will make those ways. He will. And that friend will remember you in the hard times. They'll remember the joy that you have in your life and how God is in your life. So that's how I would get somebody to live in the Word again and invite them to church if they'll go to church. I don't know if they will. Okay. Thanks, Robin. Okay. Well, we're just going to do them on the paper right now. But it says, how do you encourage your friend when all around her is going wrong, marriage and health? You encourage them. Because everything is going wrong, you need to show them that God is still God, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that you've got to show scripture to her. The word of God is by hearing the word of God that builds our faith. And so if you can share scripture with her, read scripture with her, email, text her scripture, I mean, just encourage her, bring her to church, get her outside, you know, get her into, you know, take her on a date to Starbucks and stuff. And, you know, just try to encourage her and bring joy back into the situation with marriage and believe God with her for her marriage. You know, let believe God in, and just stand in faith with her. I think that's a good way to do that. Okay. All right, let's just get all these right here. I can take them all. Okay. How do I become best friends with my husband when he doesn't know how to be a friend or to talk? That's a good one. Okay. First of all, Pastor Deborah's message on spaghetti and waffles. Got to get that one, all right? Because basically men are made so different emotionally than women. And you guys have heard the situation, you know, the example, but women are like spaghetti. It just all touches. It's just all there. Men are like waffles. It's compartments. And so, you know, you've got to learn your man. All right. You've got to learn when he wants to talk, when he doesn't want to talk. I totally know when my husband is not listening to a word I'm saying. It's like the, you know, are you listening to me? Yeah, I'm listening to you. Yeah, right. Okay, and so, like, if your husband does like late night talks, then talk to him then. If he doesn't, then realize that. Don't try to change him. Find out, you know, he's made a certain way. And just try to make opportunities. You know, make your house a welcoming home. You know, make dinner for him and sit down with him and spend time with him. You know, maybe he likes to sit and watch TV. Sit down and watch TV with him. Okay, do stuff. So I just saw a lady's face go, no. Okay. But we've got to not only expect them to do what we want to do. If you're thinking he's going to go to the mall with you and shopping, I don't know. You know, that's pretty miraculous. Okay. But do what he likes to do also. You know, guys like a partner and a friend and somebody who does stuff with them. And so maybe there's a hobby you guys can do together. Maybe, you know, you can learn how to golf. Maybe you can do bike riding or, you know, just walking around at, you know, shopping or whatever he likes to do. So figure out that stuff. Okay. What to do about a friend who gossips about you and smiles in your face as if nothing ever happened? I know. You guys remember that song? Smiling faces. Okay. They don't let me join the worship team. I don't know why. But, okay. I think, you may just want to stop hanging out with them. I mean, you saw what you, if you know that they're gossiping about you, you could try to confront them about it, but I don't know if anything good will happen to it because people easily can say, I didn't say that. And do you have proof? Are you going to get everybody together and say, you said that, proved you wrong? You could do that, but it just seems a little, you know, tiring and stuff. So I would just, you know, remember what's happened. And maybe you realize that, okay, I can't be as close to them as I wanted to. Now, if this is one of your best close-knit friends, then yeah, I would confront them. Because this is somebody who you feel like you have a covenant friendship with, then I would say, you know, why would you say that? And, you know, maybe there is some weird thing happening or maybe somebody got misunderstood or whatever it is. But, you know, you just need to be led by the Spirit on what you should do, whether confronting or realizing, you know what, I think I just need to just stop being friends with this person. God will give me another friend and I just need to move on. But be led by the Spirit with that one. And I think that's it. Wait, let me see. My friend, cousin, let me see. My, is this one? Thanks, Robin. My friend / cousin left the Rock and has told me God wants our relationship this way. She needs to be around more obedient people, and I am finding it hard to understand what went wrong. How can I encourage her to come back home? Okay. Well, The Rock isn't for everybody. You know, that's true. You know, God, there's so many denominations and churches that are following Jesus Christ. All right. The Rock is not the only church, but I understand what you mean. You know, if she grew up in The Rock and this is her home and stuff. And, I think you can just live your life, invite her back every once in a while. And if she shuts you down, maybe invite her to girlfriends or to a girls' night out or to daughters and stuff like that. But if she, you know, if she really feels like she's not called to The Rock anymore, then what can you do except pray? Never underestimate praying, ladies. Never underestimate that. And you got to pray tough. Don't pray like a wimp. All right. You know, just a little testimony. I've been praying for kids in the youth ministry. I'm a youth pastor. So I have kids who are loving Jesus with all their heart. And all of a sudden they get introduced into drugs or, you know, just random stuff. And they're out just doing bad things. You know, one kid I've been praying for specifically, I see his father on the side of the street homeless. Okay, I see this, and I'm praying for this kid. He's not homeless. He doesn't live with his dad, but it's like, how disheartening. So I pray for this kid, and I pray with a backbone. And you've got to pray with a backbone for your friends, not just a, you know, random God bless them. No, God, you better bless them. Okay, I mean, it needs to be like passionate. These are people who are maybe hanging on. They are just hanging from hell, okay? And you need to pray for them. And I would pray for this person. If you feel like that they are at a, you know, a church that maybe is not healthy or they would grow more at The Rock, then pray for them. Invite them back. Give them opportunities to come back and pray for open doors for God to let you speak into their life. Let's see. How can I, don't know this word, something my daughter... Oh, how can I advise my daughter how to choose her friends? Talk to her. Because, teenagers go through tough friendships, huh? Don't you hate it when people are mean to your kids? I mean, you just want to, the mama bear comes out in you. I mean, I can be mean to my baby like that. She's amazing. Okay, but talk to her. Sit her down and tell her. You know, in the 50s, I think it was in the 50s, they took a poll on who influences kids the most. And it was parents, number one. It was, I think, like coaches and teachers and friends. It was kind of like in that order. And now in 2010, they take a poll of what influences kids the most. And it's friends, television, music. And then parents are like way at the bottom of the list. So you got to work hard to influence your kids these days. Take her out, make a special time to sit with her and say, you know, you're an amazing person. Build up and encourage her self-esteem so that she doesn't just take on anybody as a friend and let alone a boyfriend. All right. Make sure she knows how important she is and how she needs to, you know, be treated with respect and on friendships. Is there anybody else who has a question on the paper? No? All right. Well, praise God, ladies. We're going to dismiss. I just want to pray a blessing over you before we do. And if you guys have any questions or need any prayer, I'll be up here for that. And next week, we continue with Summer Sizzle with some different workshops. Did you ladies enjoy it? Good. Praise God. Okay, well, why don't you stand up and let me pray a blessing over you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every woman in this auditorium, Father, that they are anointed and called by you to be amazing friends, amazing wives, amazing sisters, Father, amazing mothers, Lord, that you would just bless them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet as they go home, go to work, as they mother, whatever they're doing today, Lord. And we believe with a great big shout that the Inland Empire shall be saved. All right, ladies, love you. See you at church this weekend.